Thank you, Brother and Sister Quails, for that this evening. And I think we need to thank our Heavenly Father that we're part of His plan. Amen. Shall we stand, please, for the reading of God's Word, a moment of prayer? Scripture tonight is found in the Gospel according to Matthew. Matthew chapter 7, beginning with verse number 13. Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to you at this hour of this service tonight, we thank you for your help that you have given down through this encampment. We have sensed thy presence. We have sensed thy presence once again in this service this evening. But now, Lord, we ask that you would help us as we look into your word. We ask, Lord, that you would hide your servant behind the cross, that you may be high and lifted up. And Lord, help each and every one that is under the sound of our voice, whether it is in this tabernacle tonight or whether it be across other means, we ask, Lord, that you would take thy word and apply it to each one of our hearts. And in your precious name we ask it. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We find that as Jesus here has went up into a mountain and sat down and began to teach the people, as the multitude has gathered unto him, he has dealt with different subjects. But finally he comes to this point that there's only two ways, and that you and I are on one of those two ways tonight. There is the straight way, the straight gate that leadeth unto a beautiful city called heaven. There is also a broad way that is wide, and many there are following that particular pathway, but it leads to eternal destruction of the soul of mankind forever and forever and forever. I think of the straight and narrow way. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that it's a straight and a narrow way. Because of its narrowness, it's easy in one sense. Once we get into the pathway, the scripture teaches us how that we ought to walk in the direction that we ought to go. He will help us on that way. In ourselves, no, we can't make it. But I am glad for those that have made it already. I want you to go with me for a few moments tonight as we make our way at the end of that straight and narrow way. And there is a gate of a city. The gates that are of pearl, the walls of jasper. Can you imagine as we make our way on this particular Thursday evening? We make our way into that city. As we make our way, all of a sudden, this little preacher stops. My face lights up. Why? Because there, just inside of that city, just inside of that beautiful gate, there is a lady that is standing there. There are some that knew her as Irma Jean Neville. There are some that knew her as Sister Neville, as their pastor. But there was only five of us in this world that knew her as Mom. Rest of you didn't have that privilege, but I had the privilege of knowing her as Mom. And as I step into that city, my mind goes back just 3 years ago, August the 12th, 2012. I was there beside a bed in a hospice home in the state of Ohio, in Lancaster. In that city of Lancaster, Ohio, I was there, and in that bed was lying my precious mother. Off to the side was my father sitting in a chair. I was standing beside my father, my two brothers, and my two sisters as we gathered around that bed. It was a Sunday morning. It was a beautiful Sunday morning as we all stood there. I'll never forget, if I remember right, it was around 9 or 10 o'clock in the morning. And my mother, her breasts were becoming more shallow and more shallow and more shallow. Until all of a sudden, she finally took that one very shallow breath, and
and she had slipped out of this world. We had gathered earlier as we had gathered around Mom, and Mom was struggling. Mom had been a preacher's wife as long as I can remember. And we had gathered around the bed on a particular time and said, you know, I think all five of us, and then Dad, I think that we need to tell Mom that it's all right to go on to heaven. She'd come down with cirrhosis of the liver and was suffering terrible. Why she came down with that disease, I'll never know. My mother, as far as I know, never had a drop of alcohol in her entire life. But I'll never forget as we would talk to Mom, and finally it was my turn. I slipped up beside that bed, and I slipped down, and I began to whisper in my mother's ear what she had meant to me. I said, Mom, we're going to miss you. But it's all right, Mom. You go on into the arms of Jesus. When my mother slipped away on that Sunday morning, and then we went over to the Pilgrim Holiness Church there in Lancaster, Ohio, that Reverend Dallas Ford pastored for years. That's Sister Penny Ford's father. My father pastored it. We went over there. I stood at the head of that casket, us three boys, my oldest brother and his family sang. My youngest brother spoke, and then it was my turn to go up, and I spoke. At the end of that time, we were standing at the head of the casket. I turned and kissed my mom on the forehead and told her goodbye. But you know, tonight, in my mind's eye, I can't help it, but whenever I get into a church service and they begin to start singing about heaven, my mind immediately goes, there's got to be a beautiful lady up there. She was a beautiful lady in this world. Matter of fact, when I gave my little eulogy of my mother, I went down through the letters of mother. And I talked about how beautiful she was. Matter of fact, when I got to the letter T, I said, my mama didn't need any trinkets. She was beautiful without anything. She just had a beautiful, beautiful face, a beautiful countenance. If you knew my mother, she was a precious, precious lady. And I think on this very Thursday evening, I don't know what all heaven can see, but I know when my mama was down here, she was praying for this little preacher's boy that God would help him time and time again. But now we've slipped into the realm of heaven, and there's my mother. I can see as she looks at me and embraces me and tells me, welcome home, son. And then begins to lead me down those streets of gold. Go with us tonight as we make our way down through there. And all of a sudden I say, Mom, who's that? Oh, son, don't you know him? That's Abraham. Well, who's that guy over there? Oh, that's David. Matter of fact, I've had some conversations with them. They've told me about some things of how that God had helped them. Can you see as we continue on down through? I can't help but to think, Brother Cage, tonight, as there is one, Alfred Wilson. I don't know if you knew him or not, but you knew his sister, Ida McCauley. Not forget, as I pastored there in Endicott, Alfred Wilson, as far as I know, had never, ever given his life to Jesus Christ. No merit of my own, but I am grateful that one day, before he crossed the line of worlds, that Jesus came into his heart and life. And there's Alfred Wilson. There's also Willard, old Willard Brown. Never forget, as the times I would go and visit him, he had become embittered against the church. Matter of fact, he got so upset. He had an awful temper. He had told the former pastor, never even step foot on my property again. But my understanding, one day, it was time after I was gone, that Willard let Jesus Christ into his heart. There's Willard Brown. We can go up and down through there, and I see as my mother is leading us through, and we begin to see the different ones out of the Bible. We see, yes, some of you, no doubt, I can tell by the countenance on your face. There's a mama you're thinking of right now. There's a daddy. There's a grandparent. There's a son. There's a daughter. I don't know what it might be tonight, but all of a sudden, as we are going through this place called heaven, you see that dear loved one that you love so dearly, that they took the straight and the narrow way. They took the old-fashioned way. Though it may have cost them many things in this life, it cost them misunderstanding. It cost them sorrow at times. It brought to sometimes hardship in some ways. But yet they were willing to take the straight and the narrow way. And tonight, they're not at all disappointed that they went that direction. And they're encouraging each and every one of us as we make our way down through those streets of gold. And all of a sudden, you see someone and you start talking to them. And they look at you and say, it was worth it all. It was worth it all. But I can see as my mama grabs me by the arm and says, son, you got to come with me. Son, come with me. And on the way, I started seeing some of those, and I can't go into all of them that are coming to my mind tonight. But as we make our way, she says, I have something else I've got to show you. And we make our way, and there, all of a sudden, in front of us, I can't describe it to you because it's beyond my comprehension, is the very throne of Almighty God. With a blessed Savior sitting to his right hand that shed his blood for me. I'm awestruck. I'm like, and we all bow. Wouldn't we just love to stay there tonight? But we can't. We can't. Jesus not only told the straight and the narrow way that led to a place of bliss, led to a beautiful city. He not only told about that, but also in our reading tonight, he also told us about a broad way that leadeth to destruction. It's the broad way. It's the way that many are taken. Why? Because it seems like it's the easy way. You can do anything you want. You can do whatever your heart so desires. Any sinful pleasure you want to take on, you can have it if you want. Anything that you want to do that is against the word of God, you can do it if you would so desire. And so we see this a broad way, but also tonight I not only want to look at that place that is beautiful and a beautiful city, but also those that have taken the broad way. And tonight, I don't know how you feel. I don't know how you ministers feel tonight. But there's too many that I know that are also there. I could name the ones in heaven. I couldn't remember them all. I mean, there's how many we know that are in heaven, but also tonight, there's way too many because one is too many. If they're in eternal destruction this evening, but there's been those that have taken that Broadway. I see as we make our way and we get close to that gate. The other gate was beautiful. The other gate and the lights, just everything seemed to be glowing, but now we're heading towards a gate that's dark. We hear some screams coming out of that place. We begin to feel the intense heat. How do you handle, preacher? Can't handle this any more than heaven from this human body. But as we in our mind's eye go tonight, I want you to go with me for a few moments. I know that, preacher, on a Thursday night, I struggled. Yesterday afternoon and then the service last night, God began to lay it on my heart. My heart became heavy in the service last night. Sorry, brother, but oh, it just began to weigh on me. I'm like, Lord, is this for sure what you want? And then Brother Case made a comment today. He said, son, that seals it. It's what I want you to preach. I said, okay, Lord. I think of those. All of a sudden we hear a voice crying. It was little things. Little things. Who in the world is that, preacher? You say that many years ago, there was a preacher that was making his way He was in a larger city, and all of a sudden he heard a voice calling, "Papers, papers, papers for sale." He's like, "What? Man, that voice sounds familiar. Man, whose voice is that?" All of a sudden he hears it again, "Papers, papers for sale." He decides to go over. He sees the gentleman standing there on that street corner, that busy street corner, selling the papers. And he made his way and he looked at him. He'd like to buy a paper. As he looks at that man and drops a coin in his hand, he begins to think that he recognizes him. He looks at him and he says, "Sir, may I ask you a question?" The man selling the paper said, "Yes." He said, "What is your name?" The man selling the paper said, "I'm so-and-so." That preacher just stood there in disbelief. "Sir, you can't be." "Yes." For that man, that holiness preacher that was buying that paper, he could remember back quite a few years ago when he was a young man. When he was a young man himself, he remembers how that God had called him to preach and how he had finished his education and so on and finished all the requirements for ordination. It was time for his ordination, and as he made his way and they were through the ordination service and he knelt at that altar, and those elders of that conference gathered around him, there was a man that stood there and placed his hands on that man, young man's head at the time, and prayed the blessing of God on him. And now that man that had prayed is now selling newspapers. The preacher looked at him and said, "How in the world? How in the world, sir, did you go from that? How did you go from that to where you are?" And he looked at him and said, "A lot of little things. A lot of little things." And tonight, folks, listen to me. It's the little things that's going to get us if we're not careful. Most of us, when it comes to the big issues, when it comes to big things, no. But it's the devil. He loves to come around and begin on the little things, on the little things. And one of the first places he starts is in our daily devotional life. When we begin to let up in the time of prayer, and we let up in the time of a Bible reading, and then we begin to let up in our church attendance, and Wednesday night's not quite so important anymore, and then Sunday's not quite so important anymore. What are you saying, preacher? A lot of little things. Tonight, please listen to me. Please listen to me. Be careful of the little things tonight. Be careful of the little things. We could illustrate it, look at it in Scripture. What did Adam and Eve do? Did they cut down all of the trees in the garden? Did they raise their fist to Almighty God and said, "Don't come down to this garden anymore. This is ours"? No. They took a bite. They took a bite out of an apple. Excuse me, out of a piece of fruit that they were forbidden to partake of. I hear that voice. A lot of little things. A lot of little things. And then all of a sudden I hear the cry, "Hypocrite! Hypocrite! Hypocrite!" Oh, no. 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 Is that you, Jeff? Jeff, is that you? Hypocrite! My mind goes back to when I was a boy in a church where my daddy pastored in the state of Ohio. I'll never forget. I wasn't in the room when he said it, but I'll never forget as one of my brothers. I remember relaying the story how that one time after my dad preached, service was over and we were dismissed and people were shaking hands and whatever after service. One of my brothers went to the restroom with a young man. As they were in the restroom, my brother looked at him and said, "Jeff, why don't you give your heart to the Lord?" And he looked at my brother and said, "My mom and dad are the biggest hypocrites, and I'll never serve God unless they straighten up." He was in his teens at that particular time. I believe he was only in his 20s, maybe his 30s. He wasn't a very old man. They had moved out to the western part of this nation, further west than what we are tonight. He was on a motorcycle with a preacher's kid. Something happened. They crashed. And Jeff was ushered into eternity without God. You say, well, preacher, his parents were hypocrites. I don't know. I'm not going there. I'm not their judge. But I can't help but think, Brother Donnie, why would you want to go to hell because of a hypocrite? Why? I think of a gentleman. Him and his wife both were living in sin. Finally, they separated. I can't remember exactly all the details, but they separated. He'd realized his wife was running around on him, running around with all kind of men, other men. It wasn't just one guy she ran around with. My understanding is she's running around with all kinds of men. He became so infuriated with that. One day he said, I'm going to go kill her. He got his handgun, loaded it, revolver, got in his vehicle and got ready to take off. My understanding, he'd even left possibly his driveway on his way to kill her. And then all of a sudden it hit him. Why in the world? Why in the world would I go to jail the rest of my life for a woman that acts like that? He got his head screwed on, turned around, made his way back, took the revolver back in the house, and never went after her. You say, preacher, listen to me tonight. Why in the world? That would have been a huge mistake for him to kill her for more than one reason. But to go to jail over someone like that, that's doing... You say, jail? But just think, I'm afraid that Jeff is not the only one, Brother Case, that's in eternal damnation tonight. Because they let a hypocrite stand in their way. I don't know about you folks, but by God's grace and help, there's not a soul. And no hypocrite is going to stand in my way. Why? I don't want to go to hell just because of a hypocrite. Just because of a hypocrite? Why? No, no, no. But then I think of another young lady that I went to high school with. God helped her in high school. She would get saved and she would last for a while and then she would backslide. And then she'd get right, she'd get back with God and then she'd backslide again. And then she seemed to be doing seemingly all right. Never forget, I made my way to her wedding when her and the guy got married. We were all high school kids, or just past high school. Never forget, as time went on, I think of one time that I was preaching in a particular camp meeting. I was preaching, you probably don't remember the message, but I was preaching on the time that we got caught in a storm. North Carolina is another camp, but I preached it also here. And in that time, I tell about how that we must maintain our vessel. And how that in time, if we don't maintain, we'll get caught in the storms, and the storms of life will destroy us. I'll never forget as I was preaching that, this young lady's siblings, we're in that congregation. It got back to me. The couple of those siblings looked at one another when I was done preaching that message, and either that night or the next day or so looked at one another and said, called their sister by name and said, that's our sister. That's our sister. My heart broke. I go, where is she? It was only a year or so after I preached that camp that the word got to me. My dad called me and said, Randy, have you heard about so-and-so's daughter? I said, which one? He goes, I think it's the oldest one. I think her name is. I said, no, Dad. It can't be. I said, yeah. She had disappeared. They couldn't find her. My understanding, they had arrested her boyfriend or her husband. I think it might have been her husband, which had been more than one that she'd had. And as they looked for her, my understanding, they were questioning him. As they questioned him, before they got all of the details out of him, there in prison, he was on a balcony, jumped off that balcony and killed himself in prison. To my understanding, they never have found her body. I can't imagine what her siblings, her parents have went through the years. But I think, oh. And you know what I'm convinced of this very hour tonight? That if I could have a conversation with her, if we could hear her voice from the realms of eternity tonight, she'd be like the rich man. Go to my brothers and sisters, Randy, please. Randy, please go to my brothers and sisters and tell them not to come to this awful, awful, awful place. And tonight, as we would leave, we could go on and on. Just like the ones that are in heaven, also about those that didn't make it to heaven tonight. As the quails are coming, please. I want us to think. She tells me, Randy, please. God tarries. Things continue to go the direction they are. 2017. I'll be preaching to some of her siblings again. I can't help it, but I can just, in my mind's ear, hear her saying, Randy, please warn him. Randy, please warn him. The thing is, there's a possibility I'll never be able to warn them again. I think some of them are serving God, but I don't think that all of them are. But you know, that doesn't concern me as deeply as right now. I believe, Brother King, she'd be telling me to warn that crowd that you're talking to tonight. Warn that crowd that you're talking to tonight. Warn that crowd that you're talking to. Probably most of you people, I don't even know your name. When he said so-and-so from this state, that state, a lot of you, I can't put it together. I don't know where you stand with Almighty God. But I would tell you this. There's a reason that God said, warn them tonight. Warn them tonight. And I'm convinced that if that precious young lady, if I could hear her voice, she would scream and plead, Randy, please. Randy, please. Randy, please. Warn them tonight. Warn them. Shall we stand, bow our heads, and close our eyes? Who is it that needs to come to this altar tonight? Who is it that needs to come and ask God's forgiveness? Who needs to come tonight? You know you're not right with God. You know you're not where you belong. Can I tell you, He's pleading tonight. Quail, sing for us.
patiently, tenderly pleading, Jesus is standing today at your heart's door. He knocks as before.
He's knocking tonight. Are you going to? Are you going to let him in? Some of the kids that went the direction they did, I wasn't totally surprised. But I was hurt. I'm like, oh, I know she had her struggles.
Oh,
but she was a young person.
You'll need him to plead.
I don't know whatever came in her life.
On that,
that was a turning point to let her down the Broadway. But something did. And tonight, young people, listen to me.
Away,
oh, preacher, I got plenty of time. I got plenty of time.
Don't turn him away.
No.
Gracious.
I don't know how much time we have. I don't know how much time I have. I can't predict how much time you have.
Brought him from mansions of.
But life is short. Young people, if you're not right with God.
Caused him to wait just outside your gate. Oh, yield to his wonderful.
2 years ago,
love,
this September,
don't turn him
I got a call from my older brother. I said, Randy, pray.
Don't turn him away.
John Patrick's been in a bad crash. Pray, Randy. I slipped out of bed and began to pray.
Your heart
they brought in Life Flight the whole nine yards. But he never even made it to Life Flight at the age of 19 years of age. He slipped away from us.
Oh, how you'll need him to
19.
Your
JP.
Yes.
On
that eternal
1/8 of a mile from home. 1/8 of a mile from trying to scare us, preacher. I wished I could. But that's not what it's all about. What I'm doing is pleading with you tonight. Middle-aged, elderly, I don't know what your case is tonight. But you need to come to this altar.
Can you not now hear him calling? Do not ill-treat such a friend. Give up your sin. Oh, let him come in.
You're going to let him come in tonight?
He will be true to the end. Don't turn him away. Don't turn him away. He has come back to your heart again. Although you've gone astray, oh, how you'll need him to plead your cause on that eternal day. Don't the Savior away from your heart. Don't turn.
I'm going to ask Sister Quails to quietly play it for a few more moments. I don't make long altar calls. But the altar's open for you for a few more moments. Tonight the question is, you don't have to answer me, but
But the question is, are you on the narrow way? Or are you on the broad way? You're on one of them. You're on one of them. The straight and narrow way leads to heaven. The broad way leads to hell. And the only one that has control over where you will end up is you. Is you. But preacher, we live in a day where there's a lot of blaming going on. It's always someone else's fault. But tonight, if this little preacher would ever end up, God forbid, in eternal destruction, it'd be my own fault. It'd be my own fault. And if I end up in heaven, it'd be because of the choices I made. Father, we come to you at the close of this service tonight. You know everyone that is here. You know every one of our hearts, Lord. We don't know the hearts of individuals. But we're glad that you do. We ask, Lord, that if there's anyone here tonight that is on the broad way, would you awaken them? And Lord, everyone that's on the straight and narrow way, would you help us to be very careful? Don't let us let little things in that would eventually destroy us. But help us to be very careful. Those, Lord, that may be in homes or wherever else that have heard your word and felt thy pleading, we ask, Lord, that you would help them even this very moment. In your name we ask it. Amen. You're dismissed.